Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Cheng et al. Titled, Estrogen Receptor Alpha Prevents Right Ventricular Diastolic Dysfunction and Fibrosis in Female Rats. This article was published October 16, 2020. Joining me today are guest editor Christine DeLeon-Pinnell, lead author Naomi Chesler, and expert Jessica Faulkner. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. So despite the fact that women are more susceptible to pulmonary arterial hypertension, their right ventricle function is preserved compared to men. Estrogen receptor alpha, or ER-alpha, has been identified as a likely mediator for estrogen protection in the right ventricle. The role of ER-alpha in preserving right ventricular function and remodeling during pressure overload remains poorly understood. In the present study, Cheng and colleagues evaluated whether the loss of functional ER-alpha removes female protection from adverse remodeling and is permissive for development of maladaptive right ventricular phenotype. Naomi, can you please summarize for our listeners what the rationale for this particular study was, a bit about the methodology used, and the results obtained?
Sure. The goal of this study was to investigate the sex-dependent differences in the right ventricular response to pressure overload. We used a pulmonary arterial banding model because so many other models of pulmonary arterial hypertension are sex-dependent. In particular, our group has shown that the pulmonary vascular remodeling response to Sugen hypoxia, which is a common experimental model of pulmonary arterial hypertension, is estrogen-dependent. In this case, the particular aspect of sex dependence that we were interested in was the role of estrogen receptor alpha. We used a novel rat model of estrogen receptor alpha mutation that we created in collaboration with Tim Lam, Jin Sun, and others to test our hypothesis that the loss of functional ER-alpha removes female protection from adverse remodeling and, as you said, is permissive for development of a maladapted right ventricular phenotype. Our methods included invasive right heart catheterization with a pressure volume catheter, which is a technique that we've been using for a long time in mice and rats, as well as histology, mitochondrial respiration, and RNA-seq analysis, which was new for our team and very exciting. Our results demonstrated that in females, ER-alpha is protective against right ventricular pulmonary vascular uncoupling, diastolic dysfunction, and fibrosis in response to pressure overload. However, ER-alpha does not play the same role for RV adaptation in males.
Thank you. So the most interesting component of the study for me was it seems to support the timing hypothesis or that estrogen treatment is not beneficial later in menopause. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So the timing hypothesis is that the beneficial effects of estrogen depend on how close a woman is to menopause, so that it might be effective early after menopause onset and not effective later after menopause onset. And there's been some literature in the field that estrogen receptors are downregulated in adipose tissue and smooth muscle cells, skeletal muscle cells with age. However, I'm not familiar with any studies in the right ventricle that that's true. So if it is true that estrogen receptor alpha is downregulated with time after menopause onset, then yes, our results really support that idea that you have to have functional ER-alpha receptors for estrogen to have a beneficial effect.
Jessica, what were your take-home aspects of the study from your perspective?
So the manuscript presents a very intricate analysis of sex differences in the ER-alpha mutant rats. So not just looking at the females and the changes in the ER-alpha expression, but also looking at the males and looking at the differences in the right ventricular remodeling, the mitochondrial function, the inflammatory cytokines, and as well as collagen deposition between your male and female rats that have the ER-alpha knockout. And I think it's really beneficial for this paper that you did actually use the male groups as well. So could you maybe comment on some of the sex differences that you saw between your males and females that had the ER-alpha knockdown and how the male sex or female sex might have played a role in those sex differences that you see and kind of what you think is causing the underlying mechanisms via which the remodeling is different between the males and females in the ER-alpha knockdown?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were really surprised to see the dramatic fibrotic response in only the ER alpha mutant females. It was impressive. And we did the RNA-seq to kind of look for a smoking gun. And we were disappointed to not find, you know, like massive upregulation of collagen genes by RNA-seq. And, you know, we were also expecting to find some energetic differences that we didn't find. So to me, it just says there's a lot more work to be done, that there's a lot of sex differences. You know, estrogen is extremely pleiotropic. It affects all sorts of different cell types, fibroblasts, endothelial cells, cardiomyocytes. So there's just a lot of possible pathways at play. And related to the fibrotic response in particular, one of the things that we'd really like to do in the future is adapt our rat model to be a conditional knockdown of estrogen receptor alpha in cardiac fibroblasts specifically. And that, I think, would be a really precise way to get at the mechanisms of this fibrotic response, because otherwise, as I said, estrogen just has so many effects that it's really hard to narrow it down. At least here with the pulmonary arterial banding model, we were able to separate the pulmonary vascular remodeling response from the right ventricular response. And to my mind, that's been a real weakness in prior studies, or a confounding factor in the interpretation of prior studies, is that when you're giving estrogen or blocking estrogen, and that manipulation alters the severity of your pulmonary hypertension or the characteristics of your pulmonary hypertension in terms of resistance or compliance or other aspects of right ventricular afterload, it gets really hard to figure out what the effect is on the right ventricle. So I think that was a particularly important piece of this study. But of course, there's more that we can do. And making the knockdown more specific to certain cell types is certainly a direction that we're excited to move into.
I also found it very interesting that there was an increase in inflammatory markers with the pulmonary hypertension in the ER alpha mutants. What cells do you believe are these changes representative of?
Well, it could just be anything. So, you know, as I mentioned already, the estrogens are really pleiotropic and many immune cells have estrogen receptors. So I guess we weren't entirely surprised that some of the inflammatory markers were increased by RNA-seq, because just inflammation seems to occur frequently with a lot of different manipulations. And it's not something that we've explored yet. So that's something we'll definitely have to look into.
Jessica, what additional perspectives do you have on this study in terms of your expertise in sex hormones and cardiovascular disease?
I think one additional question that I had, that I was kind of intrigued by your estrogen level data in your figure 1A, where you have the change in estrogen level in response to the PAB model. Is that something you have seen previously?
So we think that what's going on there is that it's just sort of a feedback loop, that as you block the receptor, the system naturally increases the signal because it's not having the desired effect. So one question, again, for future work is what is the impact of that extra estrogen signaling on ER beta? And what possible downstream effects of excessive ER beta signaling could be happening?
So I completely agree. You kind of led into my follow-up question, which was, if you see, you know, seeing these changes in estrogen level in your model, do you think that there are changes in DHT in your males? Do you think there are changes in progesterone? There's some data that indicates that progesterone actually downregulates ER alpha activity. So I was kind of curious, especially about the progesterone, if you think that you could have some feedback effects on other sex hormones as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that the lack of a beneficial effect of the estrogen receptor alpha in males really leads to that question. Well, what's going on in the males? You know, is it a totally parallel system? Is it a completely different system? You know, sometimes we like to include males and females because we think they have a lot in common. And then other times we recognize, boy, they really are completely different. So I think you have to hold both of those ideas at the same time in order to do these studies, that we really may need completely different therapies for men and women because of the different signaling mechanisms, hormonal signaling mechanisms. And, you know, when we reduce the system to a rat or a mouse and we have an overactimized female and we try to see whether it's the same as a male, it's really not going to be, right? So I think that this is one of the reasons why investigations into sex differences are so exciting, because there is just so much to learn both about the females and about the males that we hope one day will be therapeutically relevant.
So Naomi, what are the potential future directions for this research area in your lab?
So there's so much that we can do with these animals. And a lot of the work that I'm pursuing right now is in collaboration with Tim Lam at Indiana University. And so you'll see papers coming out of his lab that we're doing collaboratively with this strain of rat investigating sex differences and pulmonary hypertension, et cetera. So actually, my training is in mechanical engineering. And so I'm really interested in some of the more mechanical aspects of heart function, like energy usage and contractile power. And one of the next things that we're doing with a pulmonary arterial banding model that we hope to then use with this particular strain of rat is looking at something called the hemodynamic cost to pump blood. So I think that this ties in to this particular paper because we've looked at a consistent afterload, right, with the banding, which is not dependent on sex. And we've looked at the effect on the different sexes with and without this ER alpha mutation. We've looked at remodeling, structural and functional changes in the right ventricle with pressure volume loops. We've also looked at the biology of it to a certain degree and the structural changes with fibrosis. We also looked at energetics with mitochondrial function and mitochondrial respiration. And we're really interested in the consequences of altered mitochondrial respiration on whole organ pump function, which we think are also really different in males and females. So not only do we anticipate that mitochondrial function is differently affected by estrogen signaling, which there's literature to support, but also that the way in which energy used might be different between the males and the females. So that's one of the directions that we're going into, that sort of mechanical aspect. And then my collaborator, Tim Lam, is going more into the biological and hormonal aspects of it. And so that's been a really lovely partnership, using my strengths in engineering and his strengths in biology and clinical medicine. And I hope that the field will see a lot of work from the two of us together, really advancing our understanding of sex differences in pulmonary arterial hypertension and sex differences in right ventricular failure in the coming years.
So I know I'm looking forward to reading what you have coming up next. So thank you, Naomi. Thank you, Jessica. And thank you, AJP Heart, for this wonderful podcast. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks for listening. Would you like to hear more? Visit the AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology homepage for our latest episodes.